Brother Tom Harding and I together conducted a funeral service last Saturday morning down in Pikeville for a man that I've known for 35 years or more, and I knew his children back when they were young. They were from Birmingham, Alabama. And he hadn't been a real excellent father to those children down through the years. Have several divorces and different problems. But anyway, after Tom and I preached the funeral, the oldest son, John, and I suppose that's the second time I've seen him in his life, isn't it, Doris? It's been, I don't know how many years, but he was 44 years old. He said, "I'd like to say a few words." And he got up to read and read some scripture, and then he said, "I want to thank my father." He said, "I visited with him over a year ago, and I thanked him." And he said to me, "John, what are you thanking me for?" He said, "I thank you that when I was a teenager, you brought me to the church in Birmingham, Alabama, when Farrell Griswold was pastor. And I, as a teenager, I heard Brother Griswold and Brother Mahan preach the gospel, and God blessed it to my heart years later." So, you know, when our God puts the seed in a box under the bed, it can work its way out in his due time. And it'll bring forth fruit. When the seed is sown in the power of the Holy Spirit, it may rest dormant, far as we're concerned, for years and years and years. And then God will remind us of the word that he gave us back at a certain time. So don't ever despair over your children, over your grandchildren, over those who wander from the way and stray. And how many times we've all strayed and wandered from the way. But God will bring them back in his own time, and it'll be all right. It'll be all right. I appreciate you inviting me. The pastor called me and asked me if I'd come up and preach, and I said, trying to be a little reluctant, you know. I said, be glad to. I'm a man of total leisure now. It's been a long time since I've had no place to preach, and it's unusual. But I'm loving this. I am absolutely loving this. I was down in Dingus a couple of weeks ago preaching for Gary. First time I've been there in years, and sweet, wonderful people, I tell you. They're just some of the Lord's choice people. And Gary reminded me of his grandson, Gary Clay. You know Gary Clay. Gary Clay had an automobile accident not long ago and crippled him up. But when Gary Clay was a little boy, and Hap was preaching down there, and I was down there in a meeting, and Brother Gary Vance wanted Gary Clay to hear the gospel so desperately, his grandson. And he said to him one day, "Gary Clay, do you hear anything the preacher says? Anything he says?" He said, "Grandpa, I try not to, but every once in a while I do anyhow." So, they may hear yet. By his grace, they may hear yet. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Matthew. My message this morning has this title: The Woman Who Would Not Go Away Without a Blessing. The woman who just would not go away without a blessing. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 21 in Matthew chapter 15. We're just going to go verse by verse now. Matthew 15:21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon." Now, you know about Tyre and Sidon. Our Lord said to Capernaum, that religious city of Capernaum, he said, "Woe unto thee, Capernaum, if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, the wicked cities of the plain, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." So this woman here, in verse 22, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of those same coasts." This woman came from Tyre and Sidon. And she, the pagan cities, Gentile cities. And this woman came to our Lord, listen, for this purpose. She cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now then, she's out of Tyre and Sidon, pagan, Gentile cities, where the gospel had never been preached. And yet she came out of those cities, and she came to the Lord Jesus and addressed him this way, "Lord, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, for my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Somehow, we're talking about this seed now, somehow, among these heathen people, she has heard something. She's heard. She's heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she had confidence in his power and his authority to heal her daughter. And you run upon this throughout the scriptures. When our Lord came down from the mountain, there was a leper who ran to meet him. Unclean leper. Now, that's a fellow supposed to stay away from everybody. But he came running to meet the Lord and fell at his feet. And he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He's heard of Christ. He heard of his lordship. He heard of his power. He's heard of his authority. He heard that Christ could make him clean. Blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the highway side begging. And the Lord Jesus passed by. And blind Bartimaeus, not knowing who's there, anything, you know, he says, "What's going on?" And somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth." Now, there's no clue there, any lordship or authority or power. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And this man began to cry, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy, have compassion on me." Now, he's heard something. Somebody planted a seed in his mind about this person and his power and his authority. Take for the thief on the cross. Now, here's a man that the outcast had cast out. Here's a man that's been sentenced to die crucified on a cross. Pagan man down in the dungeon. And they bring him up and turn him loose that Jesus Christ might die in his place. No, that's Barnabas. But this thief was taken and Christ died in this man's place. But the thief was put on the cross with Christ. And while Christ hung on that cross, this man on the cross, one side of Christ, he turned and said, "Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. You're going to rise from the grave. You're going to live. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Where did he hear this? Well, I don't know. But I know that the leper, Bartimaeus, and the thief heard of the lordship of Christ and of the office of Christ and of the Messiahship, the Son of David. And that's what she cried here. She said, "Lord," look at this verse 22 again, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of God, Son of David." Son of David. That's most revealing. When she said, "Lord, Son of David." You remember, that's one of the greatest of confessions. One of the great evidences of faith. That they said, "Son of David." For you know back in Matthew 22, our Lord asked the Pharisees. the Sadducees and the Pharisees who were questioning him, our Lord asked them, what think ye of the Christ? What think ye of the Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he? And these Pharisees and Sadducees and members of the Sanhedrin, they immediately say, he is the son of David. The Messiah, the Christ, is the son of David. Then our Lord asked them, then how can he be David's son and be David and be David's Lord? How can he be David's Lord and be his son? And they had no answer. Now this woman knew who this is in her mind. She said, Lord, son of David. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And you know something? Her daughter wasn't even there. She was, now I want you to think about this woman's faith. Her daughter didn't stand there. You know, a lot of times our Lord touched people or said something to them, but she wasn't there. This woman came out of that coast of Tyre and Sidon and came to the Lord and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Where is she? She's at home. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Here's that same faith in the centurion. Now listen to this. Matthew chapter 8. Let's start with verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick with palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I'll come where he is and heal him. Now listen to this man. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. You just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. You don't have to go where he doesn't have to be where you are. You just say the word, and he'll be well. And listen to the Lord. And listen to this reasoning. I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. I tell another, do this and do that. And in other words, he's saying this, Lord, you've got that same power over men. And over demons and over sickness. You've got that same authority. Lord, power, authority. You just say the word and he'll be healed. Listen to the Lord. When Jesus heard that, he marveled and said to him, them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And listen, and our Lord Jesus Christ healed this man. Let me tell you, this woman, you got the same thing here. This woman came out of those terrible cities. Her daughter was homesick of the into the power of demons, and she came to the Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Heal my daughter. Well, watch verse 23. But he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Now, he did not say he would heal her. He didn't say he wouldn't. He didn't answer. It was not that he didn't hear her. I have that problem. I don't. But the Lord heard. He hears. It was not that he didn't pity her. He pitied her because he was going to heal her later, her daughter later. It was not that he despised her. He didn't despise her. She was one of his own, and I know that. You do too. But her faith must be tried. Now listen to me. Her faith must be tried. Turn to Psalm 30. Psalm chapter 30. Psalm 30, verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger, or his silence, or the trial under which he puts you, endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Her face got to be tried. Watch this scripture in Psalm 27. Back to Psalm 27. Listen to David here. Verse 13. Psalm 27. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's learn the patience of faith. Lord, teach me to wait on the Lord. To wait. Doris and I were sitting in the living room one day and the doorbell rang. And a young lady from our church, this has been several years ago, she's in her early 20s, and she was there with a young man. And we opened the door and I said, come on in, Becky. Bring the young man with you. And she entered. I'd known him. He'd been coming to church some. And she introduced me and I said, come in. I said, what can I do for you? He said, I won't talk to you. I'm lost. I love that, don't you? I'm lost. And I said, well, sit down. And so he sat down and Becky on one side, Doris and I, and we talked. We talked an hour or so. After a while, he said, and I didn't pressure him. I didn't try to get any decision out of him. We understand that. No, wait on the Lord. Let patience have her perfect work. That's what Peter said. And I talked to him about Christ. He said, now, how am I going to know when I'm saved? Sometimes the Lord gives us a little understanding. I looked at him. I said, how'd you know you was lost? He said, the Lord showed me. I said, well, if he showed you he's lost, he'll show you when you're saved. That's when you'll be saved. If he showed you he's lost, I'm not going to tell you that you're saved. I'm going to let him tell you. And that's what the Lord's doing right here, this woman. Lord, have mercy on me, son of David, my daughter's sake. And he never said a word. Look at this verse 23 again. Evidently, then, she turned to the disciples. Verse 23, he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, Lord, send her away. She must have appealed to them. I'm sure she did, Peter, James, and John. He said, Lord, heal her or do something, but send her away. She's crying after us, and we can't do a thing. All right, verse 24. But he replied, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who's this house of Israel? Well, it's not the Jewish nation. It's all of Israel. It's every believer. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying the Messiah is sent to save, seeking to save that which is lost. The Messiah is sent to save Israel. Spiritual Israel, all of God's children out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and heaven. Now, the disciples thought he was saying the nation Israel, but our Lord is telling the truth here. He's saying, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save his own. The prophet Christ, the Messiah, the messenger of the covenant, speaks better things to believers. The priest, to atone, shed his blood for believers. And the king to reign is the king over the kingdom of God's dear Son. And our Lord said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Christ didn't die to save the whole world. He died to save spiritual Israel. He died to save his sheep. He died to save his church. He didn't die for the whole world. He didn't pray for the whole world. Turn to John 17. John chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. John 17, verse 9 and 10. He says here in verse 9 of John 17, our Lord's priestly prayer. I pray for them. For whom? Those who believe, those who love Christ. All things work together for the good to them who love Christ, who are called according to His purpose. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which Thou hast given me. They are Thine, all mine are Thine, Thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Our Lord prayed for and died for His people. And I'm sent. I'm not sent except to the house of Israel. Now what's she going to do? She petitioned the Lord, and He didn't answer. She's gone to His disciples, and they've pushed her aside. They said, Lord, send her away. She crieth after us. We can't help. And then the Lord says, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, what's she going to do? I'll tell you what she did. Look at verse 25. Then came she and worshipped Him. Then, in the face of all those rebukes and silence, then she came. In the presence, one old writer said, in the presence of silence, in the inability of His disciples, in the reality of sovereign election, what will she do? Then she came. Her faith unchanged, her determination stronger than ever, and her need the same. Then she came and worshipped Him. What else will you do? That's what the disciples said. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that Thou art the Son of God. You know, Job said, though He slay me, I trust Him. Though He slay me, I trust Him. She came and worshipped Him. And she spoke three short words. Listen. Then came she and worshipped Him and said, Lord, Lord, Son of David, King, King of kings, Lord of lords, sovereign over all things, all people, Lord, help. Help me. I'm a Gentile. I'm an alien. I'm a stranger. I have, the scripture says, no hope without God in this world. Oh, what a need. Help me. Help me. But you know something? It was not only for herself that she prayed. It was for her daughter who was so miserably ill. And yet her sympathy and love and compassion reached out to her daughter as if it were her herself who needed the help. Oh, I need that kind of faith. That sums it up. That sums it up from here to eternity. She came and fell at His feet and worshipped Him. And she said, Lord, help me. Help me. And I tell you this, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But wait a minute. Here is the supreme test. Here appears the strangest and strongest test of all. Think about it now. He said, verse 26, and He answered and said, it's not right, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That's what the Jews called Gentiles, Gentile dogs. She knew exactly what He meant. She knew what he, she didn't know what He meant by bread necessarily, but I know what He meant by bread. Let me show you what He meant by bread. Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Here's what he's talking about. This bread is not, man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, the Word of God. Now what's this verse 9? Who are Israelites? Who are the Israelites? They're the people to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises. Who are the fathers? of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. That's what he's talking about. It's not right to take these glorious promises, blessings, glory, covenant, and cast it to dogs. That's children's bread. That's for believers. That's for the people of God. That's for folks who know God. It's not right to take that and throw it to dogs. That impressed her because she replied, listen, verse 27. Go back to verse 27. She said, that's so, Lord. That's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah. The dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Listen, I'm a dog, a Gentile dog. I do not deserve the best of God, the covenants, the promises, the grace, the mercy, the love of God. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve the best. But I'm your dog. I'm your dog. And Lord, masters care for their dogs. They care for the children. They care for that. He cares for the angels, the cherubims, the cherubims. He cares for the dogs. He cares for the dogs by giving them crumbs, by giving them bones. So I ask, not the best. I don't deserve the best. I don't merit the best. I don't merit the least of your favors. But I pray that you'll be pleased to give me a crumb from the master's table. You know, that's what the prodigal son came home and said. He said, Father, I've sinned against God and unto heaven. I'm not fit to be called your son. I'm not even fit to be. But in my father's house, even the servants, even the dogs have the best of everything. So just make me a servant. And that's what you're saying. I'm a dog, but let me be your dog. I'm a dog. I don't deserve anything. But let me at the table just brush some crumbs off and I'll be happy. You know, back in the Civil War, I've been reading a lot about Lincoln and about the great president he was and the work he did and all these things. And they began to have some revivals in the... So you've read about that. I'm sure you have. Revivals among the soldiers in both armies, especially in the South. Revivals. Seemed like the Lord seemed to save some people amid all that devastation. But there was on a farm in the South, there was an old black man that was a slave. And he was a preacher. And he was... At night, after working in the fields, he was preaching to the slave. And the master went down and stood in the sidelines and listened to him preach. And like old John Jasper, he could preach. He could preach. That old man knew some gospel. And the master got interested in listening to that old man preach. And he went down every night in his white suit, you know, and all drawled up and listened to that old man preach. And one night he slipped in and sat on the back row and listened to him preach. And after the service, the old black preacher walked out to where the master was. And the master looked at him and said, Rube, said, would God save a sinner like me? He said, Master, I don't know, but said, tell you. He said, well, what can I do? He said, I'll tell you, Master. He said, you see that pig pen over there? You go over there and climb the rail and get in there with those pigs. The master got so mad, he turned and walked off, angry. But a little while, the next night he came back to the meeting. You see, you can't run away. A dog will come back where the crumbs are. He came back and he listened to that old man preach. And when it was over, the old man, the preacher walked down and the master said, now, Rube, said, don't want any more of your foolishness. He said, I'm serious. I'm in trouble. I want to be saved. Master, he said, you see that big pen? Go crawl in. He left again. But the next night, came back again. Same thing. He said, Master. And old Master just turned and started walking. He said, walk right toward that pig pen. And the old man, the old preacher said, Master, where are you going? He said, Rube. He said, if I have to get in the pig pen with the pigs, I'll do it. I've got to be saved. He kept walking. He put his foot up on the rail. He said, Master, you ain't going to really get in there, are you? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. If that's what it takes for God to do something for me, I'm getting in there. He said, Master, you don't have to do it. You just got to be willing. Got to be willing. Don't send me away empty. You know, two responses to this gospel. One is Felix. Felix heard Paul reason of righteousness, temperate, and judgment to come. And he said to Paul, when I have a more convenient season, I'll send for you. But he never sent for him. He perished. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And during the night, as he wrestled with the Lord said, let me go. The dawn is breaking. What did Jacob say? I won't let you go till you bless me. And that's what this woman's doing right here. I will not let you go till you bless me. Oh, wait on the Lord. Christ means nothing to those who have not felt their woe, but a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made himself. She said, verse 27, Lord, that's true. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Can we wait on the Lord? Can we call upon him? Can we come down to the pig pen, to the wherever, place of dogs, and worship him? Be it unto you as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I've been reading a book about the people who wrote our great hymns. And it's been very, very enlightening. Charlotte Elliott was this woman's name. She was from Brighton, England. And she was a bitter, unloved woman. This was back in 1830-something. Her health was broken. Her disabilities had hardened her against even her family. And one day, in a violent outburst, she embarrassed her family and her pastor. He was at Cesar Millan. You've heard that name before. Well, those French preachers. She embarrassed him. He was there in the gathering with these words. Here's what she said. If God loved me, he would not have treated me this way. And when she said that, her family just got up and walked out. And the pastor continued to sit there. She was so angry. And after a few moments, he looked up and he said, Charlotte, you're tired of yourself. And you're holding on to your hate and your anger because you have nothing to hold to. And she replied, what's your cure? He said, the very faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which you're trying to reject and despise. That's the answer. And she softened, she said, a little bit. And he said, well, what can I do to be changed? What can I do to be saved? He said, come to Christ. Just like that woman in Matthew 15. Come to Christ. worship him, fall at his feet, come to Christ. She said, he replied, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ, the Savior, with all your fears and all your shame and all your pride, and ask him to have mercy upon you and give you grace. And she replied, you mean come just like I am? Come just like I am? She said, he said, just like you are. 14 years later, she wrote this hymn in 1836, and her brother Henry published it for her. Turn to it in your book, if you will. This hymn that she wrote became vastly famous. 249. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That's the way all of us have to come, just like we are. Empty, hungry, fearful, ashamed. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, Lamb of God, I come. Jim, let's sing that, would you? I know people misuse this hymn about invitations and all. I'm not issuing an invitation. I'm issuing a commandment. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. And that's what she's writing about here. Let's stand and sing this hymn as our closing hymn. Number 249 in your hymn books. Jim will lead us to sing all five of these verses. And remember the background of this message and how God brought this woman down and brought her to look to Christ.